Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey everyone, this is Juliana McIntosh.
And I'm Brad Sutton.
And this is
The Art of Drinking.
With Join Jules.
And your favorite uncle. This is the best home bartending podcast,
where you learn how to make two drinks,
a classic,
and a twist,
plus a little backstory on the cocktail.
So you have an interesting story to tell when you serve your guests
your home crafted masterpiece. Hey, Jules.
Oh, hey, Brad.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was fine.
What'd you do?
Well, the week before, I was resting a lot of the weekend because the week before I was in Mexico with Tequila Ocho. They were unveiling a new bottle, so they sent me out there. I drank a lot of tequila, and I needed the weekend to recoup.
So, did you actively, like, say, I'm going to rest this weekend, or was it something that just kind of evolved? You're like, I don't feel like going out.
Well, you know what happened is, and this has been happening a lot lately, but the weather was terrible. It was, like, raining. So, I was like, I mean, it's like the weather is telling me to relax. So I totally laid low this weekend, but I will bring something up that has nothing to do with what we're covering today, Brad. And I just want to express that we're not perfect because guess what I had to make two of today and failed both times, yet I'm still going to share it because it tasted good. So, you know, take that with that what you will. But I tried to make a New York sour today. This will be shared after I do this, but I'm going to New York this upcoming week. And so I thought it'd be fun this week to make New York style cocktails, right? Like cocktails that make you think of New York. So yeah. I did a Cosmo, Neil Murray. Yep. I am going to do, after we record this, a Manhattan. And then I tried to make a New York sour. Well, I've made this cocktail many times. However, today, two times, I could not layer my red wine on top of my cocktail. And I, for the life of me, don't know how.
Must have been the bar spoon.
No way. I tried multiple. I first poured it from the bottle and it started to seep down the side. I'm like, oh, stop. Didn't do that. Then I grabbed my bar spoon, did the back of the bar spoon, right? Da-da-da-da. Was not holding. I'm like, okay. So then I used my jigger and I'm like, okay, well, maybe I need to pour it a little bit slowly. So I did it again with the jigger. No, messed up. So I'm like, all right, I got to make this one more time. So I make it one more time. So then I grabbed a bar spoon that has a butt at the end and I poured it down to hold here to then slowly, nothing, still sunk.
Huh.
What the hell?
So that now sounds like a density thing. So what was the wine that you were using?
Just regular like red blend.
Okay. And what was the spirit?
Bourbon.
Bourbon. All right. And then anything else involved, like egg white?
Well, you know what might have been the thing? Maybe it was too, yeah, it was egg white, but maybe it was too cold because I chilled the ice in the glass and put it in the freezer.
But the cold would make, if the wine was, I mean, I'm just, somebody's probably gonna be like, that's not how it works. But I'm just thinking if the wine was warmer, then it would, the cold stuff likes to, like cold water sinks, it's heavier, right?
Right.
So if you take like water, cold water is gonna be on the bottom,
well,
right, versus the top.
That could have been
like,
the thing. Maybe it was too cold.
So it's a density thing. But with the wine was too cold?
Yeah.
That could be it.
That could there be it. Go. Okay. Well, listener, we're not covering the New York sour today, but we are covering the chartreuse shoizhou, which has nothing to do with what we just talked about.
Okay. We're doing the what's whistle?
We're doing the chartreuse swizzle. I'm glad we figured that out.
We're doing a chartreuse swizzle?
Oh, God.
We're not doing a chartreuse swizzle. We're doing the Queen's Park swizzle. Sounds like chartreuse if you're not listening.
Sounds like I'm too busy having a hashtag swizzle summer.
You're having a moment is what you're having.
Yeah, that New York sour really rattled me. Sorry about that, guys. Wow.
All right. Let me just give you a minute to collect yourself. If you like a mojito, folks, you're going to love the Queen's Park Swizzle, which is today's drink. And it was something
Kinda
that-
love, did love.
It's something I talked about last season towards the end. It's not something I'm very familiar with. And let me tell you, I love in this thing so much. Now, technically, so here's the deal. It has rum. It has Angostura bitters. It has lime juice. It has simple syrup, Demerara simple syrup, which smacks of tiki, right? But it's not a tiki drink. Well,
no.
Technically, it's not a tiki drink because it was invented before tiki. However, it is beloved by one tiki god by the name of Victor Bergeron or Ooh. Trader Vic.
Did Trader Vic say something along the lines of, this is the most delightful form of amnesia given out today?
That is exactly what he said. This drink is just wow good. It's got mint. I didn't mention that before. Like it's got all the right things going. So fun drink. So we'll get into making that. We'll get into making your drink, Jules, which is not a New York sour.
It's not a New York sour, but it's an Italian cocoa swizzle. That's my name.
Hello. That's
and
fun.
I will give you a little insider secret to what we're doing today without saying too much, but I spoke about what I wanted to do with our intro episode of season 5. I said I wanted to do a specific technique this season, which may or may not come into play today. So stick around for my recipe because you guys are going to like it. And if you don't love it for this recipe, which get the hell out of here if you don't. But if for some reason you want to take this home and try something else, you're welcome. Recipe will be on our website and on the Instagram. And then Brad, we have a history?
Yeah, we have a history. It's a short one.
Ish.
Short one, but we got a history. So we'll talk about where the drink came from and when it was invented. And, you know, we already heard, spoiler alert, that it wasn't invented after the 30s because that's when tiki was invented.
Right.
It's got a short little history. And then we've got another listener question from the Get Featured section on at the Art of Drinking podcast, which again, we encourage you to go ask some questions out there. Uh-huh. You ask, we'll answer. So, and that question is about ice. And who did that question come from?
That is from Emily2Ys_OC. And she asked, can you talk about which size of ice cubes to use when stirring, shaking, and serving? So we get into that at the end of the episode, which take that however you want to, but there's a lot of info there.
I guess I'm going to take it that it's at the end of the episode.
So at the end of the episode, take that how you will with the information we give you because it matters based on what you drink. So it's a tough question to answer. And I will say, Brad, I'm going to plug myself that I do have a section on ice in my upcoming cocktail book, Pretty Simple Cocktails, coming July 23rd. And we talk about ice. Ice is an underrated, super important ingredient. So we get into it at the end of this. So stick around for that.
And it's also an underrated, super important rapper from the 90s.
Ooh.
Vanilla Ice.
Ice Spice. Yeah.
So is iced tea and Ice Cube.
A lot of ice.
Jules, let's get out of here and get into this next section. Come on.
All right, Brad. I feel like this drink is right up your alley. I'm excited to watch you make it.
Yeah, it is. It's a recent discovery for me. Mm-hmm. And I started looking into it. And there's a couple of different ways to make it. And then I saw a guy do it the way that I'm about to do this. And I was like, sold.
Do you have a swizzle stick?
I do have a swizzle stick.
Wow.
That is what your swizzle stick looks like. It's got that little funky end. And you know what? We need more reasons, Jules, to use a swizzle stick. So I believe I will make more swizzles from here on out because it's just fun to talk and point with a stick.
Yeah. Let's have a swizzle summer.
A swizzle summer. Okay. I think there's a song there.
Hashtag swizzle summer.
Swizzle Summer. And this drink also uses one of my favorite ingredients.
Rum?
Well, yes. And mint. I love mint in a cocktail. And so anytime mint is present, I'm a happy guy. And in
anytime
this case,
mint is present, Brad is present.
Oh my God, totally. And this uses copious amounts of mint. Also, we've got our Lewis bag and mallet. So I love using this because it just gets the aggression out. This is a great way to make crushed ice if you can't make crushed ice out of your fridge or you just don't have a bag of crushed ice readily available. Get a Lewis bag and a mallet, and it's a big canvas bag, or you can use a tea towel and a mallet, and you just hammer the ice inside the Lewis bag, and you're ready to go. And then also, we've got Angostura Bitters here. You know, Angostura Bitters, one of the old school all-time faves, actually comes from the location that this drink was invented. And then we also got some fresh lime juice and some rich Demerara simple syrup.
Yeah, sign me up.
All the ingredients for making a great cocktail. Mm-hmm. All right, so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to take 10 mint leaves, and we're going to pick them off the stems, get big ones, and then give them a little clap. And then you kind of just gently roll them around and then drop them in the glass. And then you're going to push them down and just kind of don't hammer them, but just kind of push them down a little bit to express the oils.
Yeah, you're not mad at it.
No. And then what you can do is take it up and kind of run them up and down the side of the glass too, because you don't want the mint leaves floating at the top of the drink. So go ahead and get the glass seasoned now and just kind of get those mint leaves and the oils up and down the glass there so it expresses some of the oil so the drink is all happy and mixing with all its friends.
Yeah, I like that.
Then I'm going to take 2 ounces of Demerara rum. And I'm using Hamilton 86 in this case because I find it to be an excellent rum. It's about a 40, 42 bucker. But hey, look, if you're going to make this drink at home, the bottle is going to cost you 42 bucks. 2 of these at the bar is going to cost you 42 bucks. So you do the math, right? So go get the, just go get the nice booze. So 2 ounces of our Demerara rum is going right in the glass. And then I'm going to take 1 ounce of freshly squeezed lime juice and put that in the glass. And then we're going to take 3/4 ounce of our rich Demerara simple syrup. So that's a 2-to-1 ratio on the Demerara syrup. And Demerara is a special kind of sugar that you can find. If you find like sugar in the raw or turbinado sugar, that's same thing. Just make simple syrup, mm-hmm. 2 parts sugar to 1 part water. And that goes in.
And how much did you do of the syrup? Was that a half?
3/4 ounce.
3/4. Okay.
And then I'm going to add just a couple of drops of Angostura bitters. And I'm going to bring the Angostura bitters back at the end of the drink. So now what I want to do is I want to put my crushed ice in my glass because I want the stir stick at the bar, the swizzle stick at the bottom. It's hard to get to the bottom. You can use a bar spoon too if you want. But it's hard to get that to the bottom otherwise because you saw how the thing is shaped. It's like trying to push an umbrella upside down, you know.
Right.
I kind of add my ice here.
Look at that ice.
Maybe a little bit more. Okay, got the ice in there. And then I'm going to swizzle. And so now I'm going to take my swizzle stick and just rub it between my hands. I don't want to chop up the mint at the bottom. So I just want to get the drink nice and cold without like beating the crap out of the mint. So I'm kind of going about middle of the drink. And maybe I'll give it a little kind of, you know, up and down here, but I want to keep the mint leaves towards the bottom because I don't want those up on top. So I'm going to keep swizzling. And they say you want to swizzle until the outside of the glass is frosted. I mean, that's kind of a big depends. I mean, the important thing is here, you want some dilution, you want some chill, you want to pass on the chill of the ice to the drink and get it nice and cold. If you don't have this frosty exterior, don't sweat it. But if it's cold on the outside, you're good to go. It takes about 30, 40 seconds. It's kind of a labor of love.
It's like you're trying to start a fire.
All right, we're going to call that good. So I'm going to have my swizzle stick exit the process here. And now I'm going to put more crushed ice in. Mm-hmm. And what I want to do is I want to mound it like a snow cone. Here's where I'm going to drive the people with the OCD crazy, me being one of them, is that I'm not going to give you the exact amount of Angostura you're going to put in here. It's kind of like by the way it looks, right? So you're going to kind of dabble it around the top. And what you want to do is get the top nice and saturated.
Oh, wow. That is beautiful.
And Angostura never hurt anybody. No. So let's just start there. I'm going to take my mint, wake it up a little bit, slap it around. So I got a nice, beautiful little plumage of mints. I'm going to put that in there. And then I'm going to add my straw. And that is a beautiful swizzle. Look at that. Look at the colors at the top, color in the middle, color at the bottom. You got this nice kind of like a red brown color and a gold color and a green color.
Wow, I'm impressed with how good this looks. Not that I ever doubted it. Oh,
you'd be impressed with how great it tastes. My God, this is my new favorite cocktail.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This is great.
How are you with the mojito? Because this is very similar.
How am I with the mojito? I love a mojito. Jules?
We are best friends. Yeah, because this was giving me mojito vibes when I was trying to riff off this.
Yeah, it should give you mojito vibes. And like, this is a cocktail that feels very tiki. It's not, but it could be. It ends up on tiki menus because you got the rum, you got the mint, you got the Angostura bitters. This is going to show up on a tiki menu, no problem.
Yeah.
And if it's not there, it should, but it's not technically a tiki drink. The flavor on it is you've got the richness of the Demerara rum coming through. So it's really rum forward and the lime, classic tropical flavor there with the lime. And then that Demerara syrup is just the right kind of kiss on this drink that just, man, this is balanced.
Pucker
it is delicious.
Up.
And the Angostura in there, the little clove and spices.
Well, Brad and listener, you'll be happy to know I took extreme inspiration from the OG and I didn't stray too far except for the process you're going to have to do before making this cocktail. And that is making Brad drumroll a coconut fat washed Campari to sub the Angostura.
That was a lot going on. So a coconut fat washed Campari. Oh my yes. God.
Well, I thought about it this way. Angostura is a bitter.
Yeah.
It is. Through and through, that's how we got to like Campari is because we started with Amaro. So I was like, okay, Campari's bitter. And then I was like, well, wait, what if we switch out the Demerara syrup for an Orgeat syrup to make it a little bit more tiki?
Like that.
And then I was thinking, well, wait, let's not stop there. What did I say at the beginning of this season that I wanted to do more of? Fat washing.
Oh, yeah, fat washing.
Yeah, I've always wanted to fat wash my Campari with coconut. I just never had the excuse to. No time like the present. So I did, and it's so, Brad, it's so, so easy to do at home. I'm like so excited that it was, I videotaped the process so I can put this on our stories on our Instagram.
Yeah, because I'm like, how do you fat wash, coconut fat wash your Campari?
Yeah, so it's really easy and I'll speak to it.
Looking at my Campari right now.
Yeah, I'll speak to it. Go to the Art of the Drinking podcast on Instagram and I'll put it on our highlight. But essentially, all you need to do is take coconut oil. So mine was solid because it's cold right now here in San Diego. So I heated it up just a little bit to get it to a liquid consistency, let it cool. And then I added about 1 tablespoon to a half cup of Campari. Let it sit for, I don't know, upwards of 30 minutes. And then you'll put the top on it. You're going to place this in the freezer. You're going to let the coconut solidify on top. And then once it is solid, all you have to do is just pop that coconut oil out. You can strain it with a cheesecloth and you will have a coconut fat washed Campari.
Did you try the coconut after it froze? Did you give it a little taste?
Okay. Yeah. I ended up tossing it because I'm like, what the hell am I going to do? But I was like, also at the same time I tasted it, I'm like, wait, what the hell could I do with this? This is delicious. This is coconut. Yeah. Campari goodness.
Oh, man.
So if you can think of a recipe, anybody listening, let us know because maybe we'll cook with it and do like a fun dessert or something. I don't know.
Yes. Sounds great.
So back to the cocktail. Essentially, we're doing everything Brad did. We got our mint here. You're gonna
slappy, rubby,
little
droppy.
ASMR. And then I'm gonna add in my lime juice, 1 ounce, 3/4 of an ounce of our Orgeat, which I do love Orgeat this time of year. So I use this Orgeat from Liber & Co. if you don't wanna go and make it yourself.
Yeah, love that stuff. Oh my God, I love that stuff.
Yeah, their stuff's great. So, okay, 3/4 of an ounce. And then, see, here is when I would almost kind of mixy-mixy. I don't have a swizzle-swizzle, But I have a bar spoon, which I feel like a lot of people will have. But if you're going to have a swizzle summer, go invest.
Yeah, go get it. It's so cheap. Go get a swizzle stick.
I know.
So you got your bar spoon, which works.
It works.
Which works just fine.
It's not as classy.
So now you're rubbing the glass a little bit with the mint leaves. Okay.
I liked your trick. Yeah, I liked that. So I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Okay. I did it before I put in the ingredients, but I think that still works.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow, that tastes good. Okay. So then I'm actually going to do, Brad, what you did, and I'm going to do a half of the Campari because I'm going to save half for the top. So essentially, you're going to be using an ounce of the Campari. So a half ounce to start. Okay. In we go. Then I'm going to add in 2 ounces of rum. I recommend using the rum that Brad said to get. I just have this 10 to 1 right now. So I'm going to use that.
I love that. Boop.
Okay. 2 ounces. Then we're going to add in our little crushed iced tea.
Give it a good swizzle here for 30 seconds.
30 seconds later.
Oh, okay. I'm going to make sure like Brad did.
Push all those mint leaves down. They're jumping up out of there, trying to escape. A little more ice. Nice. Mounding at the top like a pro.
Yeah. By the way, pretty in pink. Oh my God. This is so pretty. I know it's like pink, but look
at this. Chris, look at this.
Wow, that looks great.
Look at it. Oh my God. Put the mint in there next. It's going to be happy.
I'm going to do a little bouquet.
Mint. There you go. That's quite the bouquet you got going there. Cheers, Jules.
Cheers,
my
Brad.
God. Clink, clink. Yeah, yours is a nice little pink color there. I like that.
Yeah, it's nice.
All right, what do we think?
It is. Okay. So I had a lot of thoughts just then. I didn't say one, but it is very tropical, but it's not at the same time. It's weird.
Mm.
Right?
Tell
like
me
you
more.
Would think it would be more, I don't know. I guess I have like mojito on the brain.
Well, yeah, I bet you the absence of the Angostura, like Angostura gives things a real tropical flavor when you've got that playing around with citrus and...
No, Brad, the coconut comes in here really nicely because it's like you have, it's kind of a weird feeling, right? Like you taste the creaminess of coconut, but it's not creamy at all. It's really light, really refreshing. God, it's good. This is worth the investment 100%. Oh my God.
Especially for those of you who have your Campari, like, I'm not sure if I love Campari. Well, that wash it with coconut.
Try it. Try anything
like,
once.
I like Campari. Yeah.
Except for drugs.
Yeah, don't do drugs, kids.
No, but you should try a schwizzle.
Oh, shit. Let's get on to the next segment.
Okay. You little summer swizzler.
Summer swizzler. I am the summer swizzler. I feel like that could be a t-shirt.
There's a hashtag to be had there.
We need to start doing merch and like putting out t-shirts. Are you a summer swizzler? No? Listen to the art of drinking.
Get yourself a swizzle stick today.
And the shirt would read just like that. So when everybody walk up, they'd be like, are you a summer swizzler? Oh, wow. I'm punchy. Okay. So, Jules.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's get serious.
Yeah. Let's get serious for a moment here. The drink was made at a hotel in Trinidad. It was called the Queen's Park Hotel. And it was made there. We'll talk about the hotel a little bit. And just kind of like, it just seems romantic. Like, not romantic and like a ooh, but like romantic, like just thinking back to the good old days and how cool things must have really been, right, back then. And then we'll talk a bit about Trinidad, right? Because I think it's a, I don't know, it's like a, it's a pretty cool country is what I'm starting to feel here. So.
Okay.
The inventor of the drink is completely nameless, right? No idea the actual person who made the drink. However, we do know that the drink was invented on the island of Trinidad in 1920 at the Queen's Park Hotel. Now, it's pretty common for drinks to be invented at hotels, especially older cocktails, because that was a thing, right? Those would be social hubs. It's where sometimes the rich and famous, usually the rich and famous, or just the rich, or just the well-off, people who had means to travel would stay, and then they would kind of carry on, right, what they had learned to a new place. But these hotels in these different locations would like create these drinks to have something to remember them by, but then also kind of bring them back, like draw people back in.
Hotels were like the influencers of the time.
Yeah, it was like part-time luxury. If you could afford going to a hotel, you lived in the lap of luxury for a little bit, or if you were somebody of means, you just prefer to stay in hotels because you enjoyed luxury. So here's how it goes. So that's the story of the drink, right? 1920s, invented at the Queen Park's Hotel. We, in the United States during the 1920s, we were you know, going through Prohibition. Mm-hmm. And so people would travel, who could travel, they would travel out of the country, right? So we'd go to Europe and go to the American bars, right? Because the cocktail started to become a thing in Europe. And we'd go to Mexico, we'd go to Cuba. And so no doubt we ended up going to Trinidad. Now, where is Trinidad? Trinidad, if you look at the Caribbean Ocean or the Caribbean Sea, is it the Caribbean Ocean or is it the Caribbean Sea? Oh my God, I'm totally panicking right now. I don't know, either one. You guys know what I'm talking about.
The Caribbean.
And so you think about the Western Hemisphere, you got the Gulf of Mexico, right? Which is that little pocket between Mexico and the United States, and Cuba's kind of at the bottom. The Caribbean Sea, there you go, I just answered it. The Caribbean Sea is below Cuba, right? So it's like the other side of Cuba. And then if you follow Cuba off to the right, it kind of creates this arc of islands. If you follow it off to the left, it goes down to Mexico, and then it kind of goes around Central America. Mm-hmm. So you follow this arc of islands all the way to the southernmost tip is Trinidad and Tobago. So we apparently would go down to Trinidad, and they created this luxury resort called the Queen's Park Hotel. So now the hotel is situated, or was situated, it was demolished in 1996, on the former estate home of Trinidad's Attorney General. And it was turned into a resort, because apparently this place was pretty nice. And it was situated on the Queen's Park Savannah. So there's a savannah on this island.
Okay.
And at the time, the savannah had been converted from a sugar plantation into like a park, and there was like a horse racing track with stables. I'm sure there was a place to play croquet and sit on benches, and there was a botanical gardens there, you know, so I'm sure people are walking around in their fancy jackets and spat shoes, mm-hmm. or huaraches, whatever yeah. they were wearing. So this hotel was pretty nice, right? And the inventor of the hotel, one Edward Tripp, he wanted to create an experience that was away from the city, not a hotel in the city.
Ooh.
So Queen's Park sat on the edge of the port of Spain, Trinidad. So mm-hmm. when people would arrive at first by boat and then by boat plane, because there wasn't an airport there until 1937, so they would come in these boat planes, they'd dock, come to shore, and then a carriage would meet them and take them by horse, or I'm sure eventually a motor car, from the port to the edge of town. And I can imagine as you're like coming up on this estate, it was probably just like this beautiful long drive, you know, lined by fruit trees and tropical birds and all of these pretty flowers. And you had flamingos. Flamingos are from down there, right? There's this like blood orange flamingo that hangs out in Trinidad.
So cool.
Oh, it's just so cool, right? And then you pull up and there's probably these like massive gates or something that you pull up to and you get out. Somebody helps you with your bags and go to the bar.
It seems like a great place to drink.
Oh my God, totally. Something's wrong with me because every time I vacation, I'm like, I want to drink there.
Yeah.
You know?
I plan my vacation around drinking. Yes. Yeah, Brad, you're not alone.
I got these friends who are like, oh, we love camping, or yeah, no, we love to get out in the woods. We love to hike and rock climb. I'm like, if you tell me there's a cocktail at the top of that rock,
uh-huh.
I'll climb that.
I'll do it. But if there's no reward, I'm out.
Not just any, like, I just don't want to drink when I get up there. Like, I want to, like, sit down. I want there to be, like, tables, chairs.
Is there something wrong with us?
A dude in a tuxedo. Shaking me a drink and, like, setting it down while I sit there on, like, a fold-out chair and a folding table.
Have you watched The Palm Royale?
No.
Okay, it's a show on Apple TV, and it's about this luxury Florida golf resort thing back in the, I don't know, 60s or 70s. And I'm like, wait, I want to do that. I just want to lay by the pool and have a pool boy hand me my drink, which, by the way, in the show, the drink of choice is a grasshopper. I'm like, that's a bold move, poolside. But still, you can order whatever you want. I'm like, that seems like the life. And when I go on vacation, damn it, that's what I want.
I'd say one ice cream drink, but I don't, you have an ice cream drink and it's like, okay. That's usually like my night just ended there because anything I put on top of that, like a grasshopper.
I don't think a lot of people know about the grasshopper. And I think they're starting to know about the grasshopper. And I'm like, I think it was a joke that she's ordering a grasshopper because the whole thing is like, she's not rich, but she's pretending to be rich. Because that's not something you order at poolside.
No.
People listening and watching Palm Royale, do not order a grasshopper poolside. Please order that after your meal for dessert.
Right. Yeah. Go to a nice supper club for those of you who don't live in Wisconsin or Minnesota or Michigan. You're probably like, what the hell is a supper club? Just think of like old restaurant, prime rib, relish bar, and all these old school cocktails, a grasshopper being one of them. We're going to talk about the pink squirrel later this season, which is also on that list.
Yeah. But nonetheless, I think it's funny because I, like you, love to travel around booze, cocktail bars, cool speakeasies. So, Brad, if it makes you feel any better, you're not alone.
Yeah, I know. I just sometimes think, man, something's wrong with me.
Do I have any hobbies?
Like, vacationing to me is about eating and drinking and not so much. Like, of course, I want to see the sights, but I want to see the sights while I'm eating something or drinking something.
I mean, you can see those online.
Yeah. Totally. Like I'm in the tour bus with like a hip flask and like a Twinkie because I'm, you know, I need to eat and drink while I sightsee. I get cranky too, you know.
Let's get this man a cocktail.
Blood sugar gets low. Start shaking. Oh God. All right. Anyways.
Okay. So we're in Trinidad.
Edward Tripp creates this awesome hotel after buying this Attorney General's property and really turns it into, you know, quite the destination, right? So like really luxurious place, right? So they invent the cocktail there. And it's kind of interesting because the hotel was one of two places that had electricity on the island. Yeah, and this is back in, you know, the 1890s. 1895 is when the hotel was invented or invented. We invented the hotel. They built the hotel. Poof.
So close. Here you go from the ground. So close.
Wave your magic wand. So anyways, this is where the drink was made. And Trinidad, for those of you that aren't really as familiar, so it's an island nation, Trinidad and Tobago. So it's two islands. Actually, it's two main islands. I think there's maybe a few smaller islands around. But Trinidad and Tobago is the name of the island nation. If you like to look at flags like I do during the Olympics, these guys do end up in the Olympics. They've got that red flag with the black diagonal stripe going through it.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, badass.
Yeah, it's like a nautical flag. Totally. It's a badass flag. It really is. They got a great flag. Yeah. I love that flag.
Kudos, Trinidad.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. I'm one of those weird people. I just love flags. I don't know.
And you're a train guy. I mean, you like trains.
Train guy, like flags. Yep. You know, boats.
Oh, you're simple.
Planes.
You're simple.
I'm simple. So as you can imagine, during the heyday of Pirates of the Caribbean was definitely on the route, right? Christopher Columbus landed there 1490-something and Spain conquered it, held it. And then in 1797, it was surrendered to the English.
Mm.
And so they do speak English on the island since 1797 for sure. And it's an island that has actually got some kind of fun little facts to it. So let me tell you a little bit about Trinidad.
Okay.
By the way, third cheapest Caribbean vacation you can take is Trinidad. And number two is Jamaica. And number one, I think, is Curacao, I think is number one. Curacao. So yeah, we all know Curacao, right? So those are a couple of vacations I'm going to take. Curacao, Trinidad.
Also, like, shout out Trinidad Sour. You have the orange and blue.
Angostura Bitters. That's where Angostura Bitters is made. It didn't originate there. We know that it originated in Venezuela, which is not far from Trinidad, and Venezuela is not a very safe country, so don't swim over to Venezuela if you're there. Anyways.
Thanks, Uncle Brad, keeping us safe.
Yeah. Just, you know, I want to give you some, pass on some advice.
Yeah.
All right, so here's a couple of fun facts about Trinidad. One, it is home to the world's hottest chili pepper. The Moruga scorpion pepper is 1.2 million Scoville heat units, which apparently means it is as hot as a shot of law enforcement grade pepper spray.
Oh.
why people eat these things.
Do they?
I do not know. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Some people like that stuff. I don't get it.
I know. I mean, we're proud. We are pretty white. I will give us that. But even still, I like some spicy things. You're not breathing at that point. You're sweating. You're crying. Mm-hmm. Unless you have the tolerance for it, which, you know what? If you're around it, like that, if you're around it, I guess. Because some people do. I can't.
Well, I'm like reading this thing. And it's like, by the way, like the capsaicin, which is the chemical, right, inside of something that's spicy that you feel, right? It makes your nerves feel like they're burning.
Oh.
So I was like, who loves that feeling?
I also feel like it would hurt my tummy.
Oh, and then some, right? Then like, come on. Yeah. You know, like, say no more. Like, forget about it.
I bet you they have a bunch of challenges on the island, though. Like, if you can eat this, you get free meal or something. I would bet.
Totally. By the way, on the island, I guess they have like a whole thing around, like, there's a culture of cooking with Angostura bitters down there, which I think we mentioned in a previous episode. I've put Angostura bitters on stuff. I put it on ice cream once. It's delicious. I've put it on mac and cheese. It's delicious. Angostura bitters is more than just for drinking.
Okay.
And curing your upset tummy.
Yeah, that's true.
What else is on the island? The La Brea Pitch Lake is the largest natural deposit of asphalt in the world. Now, I didn't even know asphalt was like naturally occurring, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the natives believe that the gods created this lake as a punishment for swallowing. So I'm sorry, the natives didn't swallow this. The lake will swallow or swallowed an entire tribe.
Whoa.
After they ate hummingbirds.
Whoa.
Which are believed to be the souls of departed ancestors.
Wow.
And so the gods got angry and the lake swallowed this tribe for being naughty, naughty with the hummingbirds.
Eek.
And interestingly enough, asphalt is actually something that was used by the Phoenicians. So asphalt occurs in other places. The Phoenicians used it to seal their boats. The basket that Moses floated down in the river was sealed with asphalt.
Mm-hmm.
And people also used it for sealing like waterproofing temples and stuff thousands of years ago.
So it's an asset.
It's an asset. Yeah, it's an asset. Asphalt is an asset.
Yeah.
And I don't think the lake is particularly beautiful, but interesting. Nonetheless, to see this big black hard thing in the middle of the woods.
Kind of cool. Yeah.
Stick a stick in. You're like, oh, wow. Okay, look at that. It's like this tarry substance.
So Brad, you're really giving us things to do outside of drinking if we go and visit, albeit drinking's number one. Here's more of the to-dos.
Well, yeah, totally. And that's what I would be doing is I would be drinking while I'm looking at this. Now,
yes.
Jules, here's something else. Trinidad is packed with biodiversity. There are over 2,200 species of flowering plants and over 400 species of birds. They have the highest number of bird species per square mile in the world.
Damn, that's so cool. We should go.
Doesn't that make you want to go down there and like kind of have a little sippy on a little cocktail, like eat a corn dog? Maybe not a corn dog. Probably something else.
Yeah, corn dog's kind of a bold move.
I don't know. Like I was thinking like a street vendor's like there, like, hey, buddy, Trinidad sour, Queens Park swizzle, corn dog with that. Probably not.
A corn dog was the last thing I would have ever said.
It just came to me.
A fish, corn dog. Or anything like that. Just straight up corn dog.
Yeah.
You were so confident in that. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
or whatever strikes you. But honestly, I could tell you that aside from them probably not having corn dogs, they probably do. They're probably just really hot or like soaked with Trinidad bitter or Angostura bitters. I love these little island nations and their history because you don't hear about them. And like, I got to tell you, like every time I see them show up in the Olympics, which by the way, they've won 3 gold medals.
Wow, Brad, are you excited for the Summer Olympics?
I am. I am excited for the Summer. I love the Olympics. Don't you love the Olympics?
I do.
Come on.
I really do. What are we drinking for the Olympics? That's a real question. Oh boy.
Where are the Olympics this year?
Are you kidding me? Parlez-vous français?
Okay.
Oui, oui.
That's right. I should have known that. You know what it is, Jules? I don't have network television anymore. Who does, right? Like some people are like, what's network television? I just don't watch normal TV because everything is a subscription, right? So I've got like Netflix and all these different things. You just don't see the commercials and the hype. Like NBC is not hyping up the Olympics, right?
Right. Sure. I can see that. No, but Trinidad, moral of the story, has a lot to offer.
It does.
Yeah. You know what I want to know the history of? And maybe we'll do another hashtag swizzle summer. Where did it come from, the swizzle stick? Did we cover that?
Oh, well, it came from the islands, Jules. We talked a little bit about the swizzle stick when we talked about the painkiller, I believe.
Mm.
Yeah, it's from a plant. Somebody grabbed one, snapped it off, stirred a drink with it.
Smart.
And then in like the 50s, some guy's like, hey, you know, it'd be a good idea. We should turn these things into like plastic and completely take away anything that resembles what they looked like and turn them into like these plastic little things with advertising on the end. And you can have a pointy end on the other end and fish your olive out of your drink.
Marketing, baby.
But most people think of this like that plastic little thing and that you put in a drink. And
Stop waving that thing over.
Sorry. I just looked over. I saw. Just snorted. Okay.
Oh my God. Oh no. Okay. Well, this drink was made in what year? 1920?
1920. So there you go. 1920. That's the year of the drink. We now know Trinidad has the largest asphalt pit in the world. We know that the Queen's Park Hotel, which sounded beautiful, doesn't exist anymore.
Uh-huh.
And we also heard some fun facts about biodiversity in Trinidad, which I have to tell you, sounds like a wonderful place to visit.
Mm-hmm.
I have met people from Trinidad. They are beautiful people. Oh, Carnival. If you're into a party, if we do Mardi Gras here, they do an awesome Carnival in Trinidad. Apparently, is like the best. I mean, Brazil's got their Carnival, no doubt, right? Like, go to Carnival in Brazil. Trinidad, I think, is right up there with like you can do either or.
All right,
it's supposed to be pretty epic.
Put on the list. Travel
we'll
spot.
Put it on the list. All right, we'll eat corn dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll look for them.
Let's get to the tips.
Okay, back to serious business. Got a little out of hand in that last section. But our tip section is a question section. And we are tipping this off to at Emily2Wise_OC. And she asked, can you talk about the size of ice cubes to use when shaking, stirring, and serving? And I like this question because I just wrote a book and it is called Pretty Simple Cocktails.
By the way, congratulations. That is so cool, author.
Thank you. Weird that I have instead of professional drinker / home bartender, it's going to be professional drinker, home bartender, author now. Tack that on.
Yeah. And by the way, this book is not a slouchy book, right? Like this was professionally done. Yeah. I know the pains.
Yeah, it was pain.
You went through and the editorials and the pictures. And who's the publisher? Can you say the publisher?
Clarkson Potter with Penguin Random House. Yeah.
Yeah, this isn't back of the napkin. I made a book on the internet thing.
Yeah. And we may or may not be working on book number two. So...
Doesn't stop
there. Okay, but...
I love the abuse. All right, so anyways.
My point of bringing that up is I will have a section in the book about ice because ice matters and I don't want people to think it doesn't. There are a lot of answers to this question, so I will answer them to the best of my ability. Brad, you jump in. But let's start with first stirring. So what I've learned when you're stirring a mixed drink like an old-fashioned, a Manhattan, what you want to do is get slight dilution while also cooling the drink quickly. So you don't want to get small ice cubes in there and you don't want to get one large ice cube in there. Reason being, you usually have warm ingredients, right? Like sitting on your bar cart, they're not in the freezer, they're normal temperature ingredients. So let's just say, you add that to one large cube in a mixing glass and you stir it. That's going to melt a lot faster than if you had more ice in there. Now, the same holds true, I feel like, with smaller ice. Again, I think it might dilute faster and it might not chill as quickly as you want it. So I will say when you're stirring a cocktail, my rule of thumb is In your mixing glass, make sure that there is enough ice about an inch above your liquid ingredients, at least. Sometimes you're at the bottom of the barrel. You got to do what you got to do. I get it. But for the most part, make sure you're really filling up your mixing glass with ice because you only want to dilute a little bit. You want to quickly flash chill those ingredients. And usually you will either put it over an ice cube so it will mellow and dilute to your liking, and or say a Manhattan, you really can sip it on your... Yep, Brett, go. Mm-hmm, yep.
I have a question in the back. So I want to make sure I understand. So you said when I'm mixing in the mixing glass, I don't want one large cube.
Right.
But I don't want small cubes either. So just bigger chunks?
Yeah. So I would say, so I have an ice machine in my fridge, right? So it creates like those normal ice cubes, probably like 1-inch by 1-inch cubes, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
The other thing you could do that I've seen people do, if you have a clear ice mold, a lot of times they're the molds that when you put the water in, it collects the cloudy ice at the bottom. What I've seen people do is take the cloudy ice at the bottom and actually crack that into a mixing glass. That's kind of the same thing as I would say the regular ice that you would get from your freezer. Again, the whole point of ice is diluting and cooling. And in some instances, I will say when you're shaking, the ice you use will help with aeration.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
All right, so we got mixing down. Now let's talk about shaking.
So shaking, I have a tough time because I've seen both where you can do, so you have a Boston shaker, right? One's bigger, one's smaller. Fill up that smaller one with ice and put that in there. You're shaking, shaking, shaking. You got the ice shards going. It's really diluting your drink. It's really mixing the drinks. Great. Now, when you have an egg white, what I do is I grab a small handful of ice, regular ice, like 1-inch by 1-inch or half an, I don't know the size, but regular.
Yeah. Like those half moon shaped programs, right?
Yeah. With a large cube, one large cube. And the reason being aeration. So when you shake with one large and a handful, you're going to dilute with the smaller ones because they'll break into smaller pieces and dilute your drink. You will get the chilling effect because you're using the ice, and then you won't have as much of the small ice for the liquid to go through. You just kind of have more air in the shaker tin, which is going to help fluff up that egg white or aquafaba or whatever you're using.
Yeah. I've noticed that if I use a big cube with shaking my egg white, it like comes out better.
Oh.
And I'm going to try now shaking with a few of the smaller cubes plus a big cube for the kind of the variety pack in there, right? That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
So now when serving, depends. Are you making a schwizzle or a mint julep or a mojito? Because you need that crushed ice. And essentially, the smaller the ice, the quicker it will melt. But also at the same time, the more of that crushed ice that you have, the colder your drink will stay, which is why it works in a mint julep. It works because you will get that dilution, but your ingredients stay cold, right? And that's perfect. Now, an old fashioned, you want the booze to speak for itself, but you do want some dilution. So that's why you serve it over a rock. You can either drink it right away. Sometimes I've made a Negroni. It's a little hot, so I'll let it mellow and let the ice melt a little bit. But again, it's all based on the cocktail that you're making, essentially. So what Brad and I always say, know what you're making first and then pick what you like from that. So if you like a cocktail that isn't served over ice, maybe understand that, but you want the dilution, maybe mix it a little bit longer. I've seen a trick. Mixing glasses, if you actually use your hands to heat up the glass, it'll make the ice melt a little bit faster and you get more dilution. I saw that in Italy, by the way.
Yeah, I think that's a parlor trick, you ask me.
I'm just saying.
I never seen anybody warm up my glass.
I was waiting for him to like blow on it too with like his hot air mouth.
He's like, hey, you're looking at me? Ah, look at this. A good tip, okay?
I know.
I give it extra love.
Yeah. So ice is very important. Don't underestimate your ice. Know what you're using the ice for. Are you using it for aeration, dilution, chilling? Once you answer those questions, you'll understand which ice to use and why.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And look, at the end of the day, if you're making the drink for yourself, use whatever ice you want. Just know if you use crushed ice, it's going to melt and it's going to dilute. And so never, ever, ever shake a drink with crushed ice.
Mm-mm.
Just don't. I mean, I could be wrong, but I have never, ever, ever seen a drink shaken with crushed ice.
No.
And if you want to make a drink look extra sexy and it's an old-fashioned style drink, then use that big rock of ice, right? But everything else is kind of like your call.
I agree.
Sometimes I got rock ice that I've broken up, or if I'm making ice, clear ice at home, I'll break it up. And I like cracked ice. Cracked ice looks cool in a cocktail. So if I did a highball, I would do it over cracked ice, which is like bigger than your average cube, but smaller than a rock, right?
And there is. I'm trying to bring this down a bit so it's easy to understand, but there is science behind the ice, right? So cracked ice is usually, and I can't remember, again, get the book. It says it in the book. But I believe when you crack the ice, it's cooler in the middle. So you're allowing the cooler points into your mixing glass.
Oh my God.
So it chills you. You know what I mean? There's like, there's real science behind it.
All right.
Yeah. Get the book. July 23rd.
Damn. I just learned something. Sweet. All right. Well, let's get the hell out of here.
All right. That sounds good. good times. Good times. Cheers, everybody. Hashtag swizzle summer, baby.
Uncle Brad.
Cheers, Jules, and thank you everyone for listening to the show.
Don't worry, we will have the photos and recipes for today's cocktails on the website joinjules.com.
And if you got questions or comments for us, hit us up on the Insta at The Art of Drinking Podcast, and of course, find Jules at Join Jules or at Favorite Uncle Brad. That's me, also on the Insta.
And hey, subscribe to my cocktail club on Facebook. All you'll need to do is search Join Jules Cocktail Club, and there you'll see what other cocktail enthusiasts are shaking up.
This is a Red Rock Music podcast.
Don't forget, subscribe, like, and review The Art of Drinking with Join Jules and your favorite uncle wherever you get your podcasts.